every day something dramatic happens in the Caribbean that affects our lives. We'll give you the details. We'll give you the facts on Caribbean Perspective with Eddie Fedrick. Host Eddie Fedrick.
This is Caribbean Perspective for Tuesday, 12th March 2013. So glad you can join us. The big story we are following today: Trinidad's Archbishop was briefly hospitalized over the weekend. This story and more when we return.
Welcome back.
Trinidad's Archbishop was hospitalized on Sunday after he complained of feeling unwell. A source at Archbishop's house in Port of Spain told the Express newspaper, after a hectic round of activities on Saturday and Sunday, His Grace showed signs of exhaustion and was advised to rest. He was taken to St. Clair Medical Center, where he underwent several tests. Late on Sunday, the Archbishop returned to Archbishop's house around the Queen's Park Savannah, where he was resting comfortably. Last year, Harris replaced former Archbishop Edward Gilbert as head of the local Catholic Church. He is the 10th Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Port of Spain and the second local to be appointed to that position after the late Anthony Pantin. Political leader of the Congress of the People, the COP, Prakash Ramadar, has called on his cabinet colleague, National Security Minister Jack Warner, to make a public apology for what he called defamatory statements made concerning COP member Vernon de Lima. More from the Samuel McKnight report.
Following a heated five-hour-long Congress meeting at its Charleville Operations Office, political leader Prakash Ramadar announced that he'll be writing Speaker of the House with Mark to remove from Hansard certain allegations made against former COP Vice Chairman Vernon de Lima. The political leader is also expecting an apology from the minister.
I've undertaken to file to the Speaker of the House communication to ensure that a correction is made to that grave error that occurred Friday last in our parliament. Mr. de Lima, having indicated to us and in writing that he was present at no such meeting, and to know that he is a current member of the COP, I would only imagine that an apology would be not difficult in the circumstances.
Minister Warner is alleged to have said that de Lima was one of several persons to attend a number of meetings held with a character known as Soldier Barry, who was part of the alleged assassination plot of Prime Minister Kamla Prasad Bisesa in 2011. Ramadar says he is optimistic that Minister Warner will apologize and is not thinking of their next action. With local government elections legally due in the next few months, the COP is calling for immediate negotiations on the awarding of seats within the partnership.
I have asked the chairman some weeks ago to write to the chairman of the other partners in our party to start the discussions on local government elections and to start a negotiating process for the determination of seats early enough so that preparation can be made and not left to the last moment.
He says when last time around in 2010, it was a hurried fix. They need to look at how all the partners will be involved. The partnership consists of the UNC, the COP, the TOP, and NJAC. In an almost about turn, Ramadar announced that the COP will now be supporting the defense bill with some modifications.
We will continue to remain committed to working with all stakeholders, and if there are good ideas and good thoughts, the legislation is not yet passed, and therefore we are open to that. But to say that we outright condemn or will not support the bill, no, I think we will support the bill, but open to improvements upon it as we proceed.
The political leader had earlier announced that the COP was not supporting the bill. He also announced that the COP has serious concerns about the bail bill, which is suggesting incarceration for all persons found with guns, ammunition, or illegal drugs. I am Samuel McKnight.
Meanwhile, another drug bust has landed a young man in hot water with the law in Trinidad and Tobago.
Police have arrested a 29-year-old man in connection with drugs and ammunition. On Saturday evening, officers from the Northeastern Division Task Force, they went to a house in Crown Trees Enterprise where they executed a search warrant. On searching the premises, a large quantity of marijuana wrapped in foil and in plastic packages was discovered. Police also found a walkie-talkie and a Smith & Wesson .38 revolver with five rounds of ammunition. A man whom the police detained is said to be assisting the lawman with that investigation. Now, this raid comes on the heels of a major drug bust by Eastern Division officers on Friday, where over $4.5 million in illegal narcotics were taken, and so were the persons involved in that illegal drug trade.
In other news, President of the Trade Union Federation of St. Lucia, Julian Montrose, says it should not be said that unions should move to arbitration.
Montrose says unions are seeking to conclude negotiations amicably and are prepared to take any step in the process. However, he asserts that TUF is not in favor of arbitration simply because they wish to see talks continue and result in a settlement.
Afraid? Fear never creeps into the heart of a trade unionist. None, trust me. So there's nothing that we are afraid of. What we are saying is that we must have confidence in ourselves and the confidence in the employer, especially when that employer is government, to be able to sit around the table and arrive at amicable solution.
However, the president of the Police Welfare Association is singing a different tune. Martin James, who faced the media on Friday, says one of the reasons why the membership of the Police Association accepted the government's 4% offer is because at the TUF level, members are not convinced of a favorable outcome for public sector unions if the process moves to arbitration.
We at the Trade Union Federation, I could tell you, we are not convinced that we are going to win in an arbitration process. I am not convinced at the TUF level. And I know, unless, and they're saying that they have other information or what have you, fine. I am not upset to that. Those information were not presented to us, and maybe it should have been presented. If you want to present it now, present it.
But according to Monroe's on Thursday, what's at stake is the principle of conducting amicable negotiations within the framework of the GNT and TUF talks. He says it doesn't speak well of government if they are unable to amicably conclude talks at the negotiating table.
If you have a situation with your workers and what you want to do is to run to arbitration, then where's the example that you're setting for other employers in the private sector? Do we say no? Let us sit around the table, let us discuss the issues, and let us come to a solution.
Are you in this for the long haul if the government continues with its hard line?
I am in it for as long as my members decide we are in it.
For now, the TUF and GNT say they are prepared to continue wage talks. The Prime Minister and Minister of Finance has indicated the government's willingness to let an arbitration panel resolve what he says is an impasse based on facts and figures and government's ability to pay.
You're listening to Caribbean Perspective with Eddie Frederick.
Still on St. Lucia, the Police Welfare Association's acceptance of government's 4% wage hike has drawn out the CSA President Mary Isaac, as Winston Springer Jr. of HTS News Force tells us.
CSA President Mary Isaac has reacted to the decision taken by the Police Welfare Association. Isaac says she believes there is more to the story than meets the eye. She believes external pressure likely led the Police Welfare Association to break ranks with the TUF in accepting the 4% offer, which other members have refused collectively.
We have a government. We are required to negotiate in St. Lucia under the ILO Convention. Government is a signatory to the ILO Convention. And as such, government in St. Lucia must engage the trade unions in negotiations for salary increases and benefits. I believe that the model we are using is not right. It has outdone its time. Maybe at one time it used to work, but I believe that has outdone its time because it's creating a lot of division among the people throughout society. So it is something that we have to try and do away with, this model that we are using. Notwithstanding, we have an issue on the ground where you have one person, one union, doing something contrary to what the other members of the Trade Union Federation agreed to do. Now, I believe a lot of pressure was probably brought to bear on that union, and maybe that is what has caused that union to do that. I am not the union, and I cannot speak for the police association, but I do not think that they would have just, the president would have just done this on his own doing. I believe there may have been a lot of pressure.
Mary Isaac warns that if this is a tactic on the part of the government to divide and conquer, then it is the wrong move, one which does not work in the interest of public servants. Isaac says the TUF has an important mandate and the coalition should be preserved at all costs.
That government should embrace the federation and not try to create division among the members of the federation. Because sometimes we think when we create division, we are doing a good thing, but it is not. It is not. It is better when people come, when people unite, in order for them to face their challenges together and come to amicable solutions, as opposed to, you know, trying to divide and conquer.
Additionally, Isaac says the government and public must realize that public servants are a, quote, special group of people and should be treated accordingly. She says the environment created by the government for the negotiations has been very disheartening and disrespectful to public servants.
We are a very unique group of people, public workers, and people must recognize that. In law, that has been recognized. The Constitution recognizes us as a very unique group of people. We devote our entire lives to working for our country, right? And we have to be rewarded for that. We have special conditions attached to our work that other people in the private sector do not have at all.
Isaac says going forward, the triennium must begin in earnest to avoid the ripple effects of late negotiations. The 2010-2013 triennium will elapse in 26 days. Winston Springer Jr.
And gladly we turn our attention now to St. George's, Grenada, where Raymond Roberts will be representing the Grenada Trades Union Council in the Upper House of Parliament for the first session of the 9th Parliament, scheduled to open later on in the month. Whereas the business community and the farmers' organizations have re-elected the persons who represented them during the 8th Parliament, the Trades Union Council will be represented by Raymond Roberts, the Chief Information Officer of the Government Information Service, currently on vacation. The two contending for the post were Chester Humphrey, who served for 23 years, and Roberts, who serves on the executive body of the council. Reports are that Humphrey withdrew his name as a nominee after it became quite clear that support from his colleagues would not be forthcoming, leaving Roberts as the lone candidate. According to the Constitution, Grenada's Senate or Upper House shall comprise 13 senators, 7 of whom must be recommended by the Prime Minister, 3 by the Leader of the Opposition, and 3 shall be appointed by the Governor-General, acting in accordance with the advice of the Prime Minister, after the Prime Minister has consulted the organizations or interests which the Prime Minister considers the senators should be selected to represent. Traditionally, the areas of business, farming, and labor are represented. The farming community retained Keith Cloudon, who will be on his third term. He was nominated by 19 of the 26 farming organizations who attended the meeting on Friday last. The business community agreed to retain Christopher Dialli, who will be on his second term. He was retained after members of the Chamber of Commerce, as well as members of the Grenada Employers Federation and the Grenada Hotel and Tourism Association, all nominated him as the choice. The naming of the 3 brings to 7 the number of senators named to be in the Senate. Prime Minister Dr. Keith Mitchell is to announce another 3, while Governor General Sir Carlisle Green is to appoint the 3 who would normally be selected by the Leader of the Opposition. The BBC's Will Grant says the election date of April 14th is significant for pro-Chavez supporters in Venezuela.
Elección presidencial para el 14 de abril.
Venezuelans have an election date, the 14th of April. Now that's one day after a very historically important day for pro-Chavez Venezuelans, The 13th of April was the day that Hugo Chavez was returned to power after an attempted coup in 2002. But despite the date, and despite the wave of grief and sympathy and the outpouring of love for Hugo Chavez, who is still lying in state here in Caracas, the opposition believe they're in with a decent chance. The reason being partly the economy, which is in deep trouble, rampant inflation, a devaluation of the local currency in recent weeks, and crime, which is particularly bad here in the capital, Caracas. All of that makes them think they might be able to take back the presidential palace, Miraflores.
I am Eddie Frederick. This has been Caribbean Perspective, a whole new approach to highlighting developments in the Caribbean. In the meantime, please continue to log on to CaribbeanPerspectiveNew.com for more daily news and more.